But man, it was a couple of weeks ago, something went wrong with my cell phone. So I don't know what happened, but it got to this place to where I could not receive phone calls anymore. I could do text messages, I could make calls, I could actually get text messages as well, but anytime somebody tried to call me, they got a message from Verizon saying that my number had been disconnected or changed, and so nobody could get me. Pretty great couple of days, honestly, and but I had no clue anything was going on at all because I thought that I was available, so I had nothing, I had no clue that there was a problem with my phone until my brother called my wife, and he's like, would you tell Adam to answer his phone? I need to know how long I'm supposed to smoke these ribs for. And so important information that was needed there, but it was just kind of crazy. And then after 60 minutes on customer support with Verizon, which will test anybody's sanctification, it finally got everything cleared out. I was able to receive phone calls again. Everything was put back into normal. And, you know, honestly, it was kind of one of those kind of weird, kind of eye-opening moments whenever you just kind of start thinking about things in the big picture, because in my mind, I was open for communication, but in reality, I wasn't. I thought that I was able to receive communication. I thought that I was there and present, but it turned out that I was not. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized, man, that's how a lot of us operate in our marriages. It's kind of the way we all kind of work. We think that we're communicating. We think that we are clear. We think we are open for business, but somehow things aren't getting all the way through. And we've all probably had those moments in our marriages. You're going to be afraid, like my other two services, to actually agree with me, but we've all had those moments to where you said something and your spouse completely missed your point. You tried to communicate and it ended up in the silent treatment or sarcasm. Or a you always, your mama warned me about this, right? You know, you feel like you are talking, but it's just not landing. And if you've been married for longer than 15 minutes, maybe you've gotten to this place where you just went, I didn't know it was going to be this difficult. Why do we keep missing each other? And why is it that I can talk to the cashier at Walmart for 17 minutes, but I can't talk to the one that I promised to spend the rest of my life with and actually feel like something is being communicated? Amen. There's a truth that we all have to know, and it's this: communication in marriage is not a given. It's not automatic. It is something that we have to work at. It is something we have to give a little bit of intention to. And so today, in week two of our In the Ring series, where we are talking about how we can fight for a better marriage, we are going to talk about how we can fight for better communication. And one of the best ways we can fight for better communication is to look at our words, the words that we are using. And so today, we're going to be just kind of looking at a lot of verses here to where God just kind of talks about how we can use our words. And so even though this is a marriage series, I'll just say this: if you're married, single, work, if you just live, this has got helpful stuff in here, because we all use our words, we all communicate. And so while we may be talking about marriage in the specific, in general, this is going to help us all. So I want to give you just a couple of big ideas here. There are about 120 Bible verses that deal with the idea of our words, our speech, our tongues. And so I'm not going to give you all 120, but I want to give you a handful this morning. And let's just put them into two categories. There's the first thing that the Bible kind of teaches us about our words. Big principle is this: is that our words can build or our words can break. Our words are either building words or they are bruising words. They are destructive words. This is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He says this: do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is, say it with me, only what is what? Helpful. For building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't let any unwholesome talk. Now, in your notes, you might want to circle that word unwholesome, and you can write off to the side this word. It is rotten. Because that is literally the word that Paul is using. It is rotten talk. Unwholesome talk is rotten talk. Here's how my brain works and how I think about it. Maybe you're like me and you go through some times to where you're like, I'm going to start eating healthy. And so you go and you buy a bag of salad or lettuce because you don't want to cut it yourself. It's like, just no, give me the plastic bag of lettuce. And so you get it and you put it down in the, we call it a crisper, but it should really be called a rotter. And so we put it into the crisper drawer of the refrigerator, and we're like, I'm going to be healthy. And then all of a sudden you forget about it. And 4 months later, whenever you are thinking, I'm going to be healthy again, you go to the store and you buy another bag of lettuce and you bring it in and you're going to put it into the rotter drawer again, and you open it up and there's the one that you bought 4 months ago. And what does it look like now? Brown sludge. It's squishy, it's squeezy, it's disgusting, it is good for nothing, it is rotten. And that is the word picture that Paul is using here whenever he says, don't let any unwholesome, don't let any rotten talk come out of your mouths. Don't let anything like that. And he says, don't talk in a way that is just going to be gross towards other people, in a way that is going to harm them. And so Paul would say things like sarcasm or constant criticism or nagging or passive-aggressive verbal jabs. He's like, that's verbal rot. And as followers of Jesus, there's no place for verbal rot in our talk. And he says, so instead of that, we're going to say only what is helpful. We're going to speak in a way that builds people up. We're going to speak according to their needs. We're going to aim to benefit them, because the goal of communication isn't self-expression. It's connection. And so every word that is spoken is either a gift or it is a wound. And this is one of those things, whether you're married or not, we know that to be true, don't we? Because we have all been either wounded or built up by somebody else's words. I mean, it was a teacher, it was a mentor, it was a parent, it was a coach, and we have had people in our lives that they have built us up or they have torn us down. And it is so much more true, even more true in our marriage. There is no closer relationship on the planet Earth that is closer than a marriage relationship. And so our marriages, every marriage is made of words. And every word that you speak to your spouse is either doing damage or it is doing good. Our words can build or they can break, they can bruise. But sometimes, and you all know this, our words don't just bruise. They can actually crush. They can scar. They can actually kill something in the other person. Listen to how Proverbs 18 says it. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Y'all are smart, and so I know that you know there's a big difference between a bruise and a scar. I mean, a bruise is you bump into something, and, you know, depending on how old we are, it's gone in 3 days or 6 weeks or 6 months. And, you know, you just kind of bump up against something, and it bruises. And it can be tender. It can be a little sore. But eventually, it goes away. And there are some words that are spoken to us that are like that. They bruise. They just kind of inflict a little bit of damage. But you give it a few days, a few weeks, a couple of months, and it's like, okay, I've kind of dealt with that. But then we also know that there are some words that they scar. They penetrate. They are a word that is just like a sword, and it just kind of goes into you, and it is a wound that does not really go away. It may scab over, but it is with you the rest of your life, kind of like that gouge that you had out of your shin from whenever you were riding a bike when you were 9 years old, and the pedal just kind of came back up and whacked your shin, and you still have that there, and it's with you the rest of your life. There are some words that have been spoken to you that are going to be with you the rest of your life. They're scars, and they're painful. And we know that a careless sentence can end a friendship. We know a reckless word spoken in anger can replay for years, for decades in somebody's life. And so that's why the Bible gives us those two stern warnings. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, because that can bruise someone. But also, you can also use your words to take life or to cause death in somebody's life. In other words, our words aren't neutral. They build, they break, they heal, they harm, they give life, or they take life. So what is the Bible saying? Every word is either doing damage or doing good. So our words can build or they can break. Here's the second thing that the Bible says. It says that our words reveal our heart. That's the next thing. Our words can reveal our heart. If you go to Matthew chapter 12, this is how Jesus says it. There's one of the most terrifying sentences in the entire Bible in this little section here. But this is what he says. He says, a tree is identified by its fruit. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Here's the terrifying sentence. I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. And the words you say will either acquit or condemn you. So what Jesus is teaching us is that our words just reveal what's going on in our hearts. In fact, if you wanted to do an MRI of your heart, the best way to do a non-physical one, if you have heart problems, get the real one done. But if you want to just know like how your heart, how your soul is doing, the best way to do that, the MRI, is to just examine your speech. What's coming out of your mouth? What are the words that you are saying? What are you doing? Because our words reveal what's going on inside of us. And so if you want to know how your heart is, if you want to know the condition of your soul, just ask this question. What is the most consistent speech pattern in my life? What is it that comes out of my mouth the most? If it is praise, encouragement, gratitude, probably got a good heart going right now. If it is complaining, criticism, constant sarcasm, Jesus would say, it's time to do a heart check. There is no clearer indicator of the state of your heart than the words that come out of your mouth, and just to make sure we're clear, or the words that come out of your fingers as you text, all right, because that counts as well. And I think it's also safe to say that the words we speak to and about our spouse are some of the clearest indicators of the state of our marriage as well. And if you listen to how a wife speaks of her husband or speaks to her husband, or how a husband speaks of his wife or to his wife, it doesn't take long to kind of get an idea of like, here's the state of that marriage. Doesn't take very long, does it? Because our words reveal our heart. So the question is, if that is the case, so if our words are the index of the soul, if our words can build or they can break, they can kill or they can give life, the question is, so what kind of words should we be seeing whenever it comes to this marriage relationship? What should our words, how should this all be playing out? How are we going to have healing words? How are we going to have building words? How are we going to do this? So let's get practical and let's just talk about how we can use our words to build and not bruise. We're going to build with our words and not bruise with our words. I've got three simple ideas. These are not brand new ideas to any of us here, but it's good to be reminded of these. That one of the first things that we can do if we want to be better with our words, better at communicating in our marriages, is we're going to do this, is we're going to learn to be quick to listen and slow to speak. We're going to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Everybody say listen. Listen. That's what we're talking about. Here's how James says it. He says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Be quick to listen. But I think if we're all honest, we would probably admit that quick to listen is not our default factory setting when it comes to communication. Most of us might be quick to respond. Some of us are quick to top a story. Others of us are quick to explain or defend. Others of us are just quick to interrupt. But quick to listen, that is not usually just kind of where we all default to, because most of us, we're just kind of all the same to where we just love being heard, right? We just want people to listen to what we have to say. And so listening isn't something that always comes naturally. But what James, brother of Jesus, says, he's like, no, if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to walk with him, then we're going to be marked by being people who are quick to listen and slow to speak. Why? I think this is it. Because love listens first. That's what love does. Love communicate, whenever we listen, it's communicating love. What we are saying is like, you matter to me. I'm interested in you. I want to understand where you are coming from. That is what love does. That's what love communicates. I think Proverbs 18 puts it pretty bluntly. It says this, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. So it's not just rude to be somebody who's just like ready to talk, ready to talk, ready to talk. It's actually, the Bible says it is foolish. It is foolish to do that whenever we just say, hey, I'm going to talk first and listen second. And so I'll be honest, this point here, this idea of listening, that is, this is not one of my strongest suit. Okay, this is not one of my strongest gifts. I've got gifts, several gifts. This is not necessarily one of my highest gifts of listening. And I can tell you in my marriage and my relationship with Jennifer, it plays out more than I would appreciate. And I'm sure more than she would appreciate as well. And I always joke, you know, that it's like, it's because I can't hear or she mumbles. That's what I try to say. It's just like, well, if you'd speak up, I'd hear you better, right? You know, just you're mumbling the whole time. She thinks my hearing is going, but I don't think it's my hearing. I think it's my focus. I think that's probably more what it is. And I tell you this, it's way too often that Jen and I will be having a conversation and she'll be sharing something about her day. And I'll realize, maybe some of you all been here before, about halfway through, that I have no idea what she's saying. Because I'm replying to an email, you know, in my head. It's like, oh no, I didn't reply to that. I haven't replied to that text message yet. Oh no, what do I have tomorrow? I've got this. So I got a lunch here. And then whenever she finishes, I can just kind of nod, but I can't tell you a word that you said. And here's the thing. And I'll say this is true for me. This might be true for you. The reason I'm not listening in that moment is because my own sense of self-importance is more compelling than my wife's heart. And that's the problem. It's pride, isn't it? It is pride. And it's not just that I'm distracted. It's not just that, you know, she's mumbling. You know, she might be. It's pride. Because real listening takes humility. Real listening is not just waiting for your turn. It's about giving your full attention. So we're going to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Let me give you just a few practical tips on how we can all get better at this. You know, like one thing we can do is we can ask open-ended questions. You know, questions would be like, hey, tell me more about that. How did that feel to you? Those are questions that kind of open up a door. Hey, I'm interested in hearing more. We give full attention. Let me give you like one of the most practical tips you can ever hear about how to give somebody full attention. It's very simple. It's this: put your phone down and lift your eyes up. Don't just nod along, but actually listen. Because whenever we're quick to listen and slow to speak, it's not just better communication. It's actually a deeper connection with the person we're trying to listen to. So that's the first thing we're going to do, is we're going to be quick to listen, slow to speak. Here's the second thing we're going to do. If we want to get better at using our words and being better at communicating, we're going to do this. Whenever you think of something good, say it. When we think something good, we're going to actually say it. Everybody say good. Good. Here's Hebrews chapter 3. Love this verse. It says, but encourage one another. How often? Say it with me. Daily. As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And I love that. I would underline that, circle it, because the author is clear. Every single one of us needs encouragement daily. Not occasionally, not once a week, not once a quarter, every other month, every single day. We need encouragement. And in our marriages, we need encouragement every single day, because that protects our marriages from becoming hardened by things like insecurity or doubt or even sin's subtle lies. And so what we want to do is, if we think of something good or if we notice something good about our spouse, we need to go ahead and say it out loud. Because what happens too often, and we all do this, men, women, we all do this, is that we will see our spouse do something and we will think in our head, it's like, man, that was really cool. I can't believe, now that was, I mean, the way they handled that was so great. Or man, she looks great today. Or oh my goodness, this. And yet we forget to say it out loud. We forget to actually pass it along. And the truth is, whenever we don't express encouragement, guess what? It's not encouragement. Because the only way it is actually encouraging to the other person is if you say it out loud. So don't just think, well, she knows how I feel or he knows how I feel about this. Actually use your words and say these things out loud. So let me get really, really specific here for just a second. So guys, men, let me just perk up your ears for just a second. Here's what I would say to us. We need to learn to pursue our wives with words of affection. With words of affection, that's what we're talking about. We pursue her with words of affection, and if you need to, you can write off to the side with words of non-sexual affection. Some of y'all need to learn that word, non-sexual affection. What does that mean? Well, it means words without a hidden motive. It's like a real back rub, okay? That's what I'm talking about. You know, words of non-sexual affection, because your wife craves non-sexual affection. Amen. That's what she wants. That's what she's looking for. So here, let me ask you, have you ever wondered why your wife asks you, do these pants make me look fat? You guys are scared already. I've already like taken you to a trauma place. You're like, I thought we were in a safe spot. I thought we weren't ever gonna have to deal with this again. You know, you're talking about words that scar. It's like, man, I got physical scars from that question. And it's like, but here, have you ever thought about this? Let's think about this. Why is she asking this question? Why is she asking, do these pants make me look fat? This is not a question about her appearance. This is a question, it is a bid for reassurance. Amen. This is what this is about. Because in a world that is inundated with AI-crafted, Photoshopped, unrealistic images, you know what she's actually asking you whenever she says, do these pants make me look fat? I'm going to put a translator on for you real quick. Do I still rock your world? Okay, that is what that question means. Do you still find me attractive? Are you still attracted to me? And so she is looking for a source of security there. That's what she wants. And so, men, you pursue her with your words of affection. You tell her she's beautiful. You tell her you love being married to her. You tell her what you adore about her. Whenever she walks into the room and she looks stunning, say it. You look amazing tonight, baby. This is amazing. You just look so good. Or, man, I just love the way that you do this. I love this. Or how about this? Whether you've been married 5 years, 10 years, 55 years, how about just saying something like this? You know what? Let's think about this today. You are still the one I'd pick all over again after all these years. So you think these things. Say it. Write it out. Write a note. Give her a note. Text it. Speak it in front of your kids. Speak it in front of your grandkids. Make them go, ew. Do all those kind of things. Because your words are either building her up, don't miss me, don't miss it, men, or they're leaving her wondering. So use your words and pursue her with words of affection. Ladies, you're going to pursue your man differently. It's not words of affection he's looking for. He's looking for words of affirmation. Because he's asking a different question. He's not asking, do you still love me? He's asking this, do you still believe in me? And your husband's greatest need is to know that you believe in him. That's what he needs. He doesn't need perfect circumstances. He doesn't need the perfect house. He doesn't even need perfect performance. But he does need to know that you see strength in him, even when and especially when he doesn't see it. And your words can speak life into him, and he will actually become what you see in him and what you speak him to be. This will happen. So do not spend your time telling him what he is not. You tell him who you see him becoming. And so you say things like, oh my goodness, I am so proud of the way that you handled that phone call with Verizon and that you didn't throw your phone across the golf course. Oh my goodness, that was amazing. Thank you so much for working so hard to provide for our family. You build him up spiritually and you say, baby, whenever you get the family up in the morning to go to church on Sundays or whenever you're saying on Saturday night, we're going to church tomorrow, you just say, oh my goodness, that just makes me feel so close to you. Whenever he gets the courage up and he says, hey, let's pray before the meal, even in a restaurant, you know, all those things. You want him to keep doing that? I'll give you the trick. You just tell him this. You have never been more attractive to me than whenever you took our hands and you prayed over that meal at dinner. Do you know what he's going to do until the day he dies from now on? Let us pray. Let us pray. The whole everybody in Longhorn, let us pray, you know? And it's like, she thinks I'm sexy whenever I do this. Come on now. You do those things. See, in a relationship, she often wants to know, do you love me today? And he just wants to know, Do you believe in me today? And so you choose your words of affection and affirmation, and that's how you can answer those questions daily. Here's the last thing. Whenever it comes to our words, it's this. Whenever you realize your words have gone too far, stop. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stop. Everybody say stop. Stop. That's what we need to do. We're just going to stop it. Here's Proverbs 21:23. Some of us, we need this tattooed. All right. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Everybody said amen, right? But let's be honest. We've all crossed the line with our words. We've all done it. In fact, I've heard it said that if while you are giving somebody a piece of your mind, or if you're communicating something that's a hard truth and it feels really good, it's probably because you're being a jerk in the moment. And so we're gonna watch our words, and we're gonna watch our tone, watch the jabs, and we're gonna guard our mouths, because if we guard our mouths, we can guard our marriage at the same time. And so whenever you realize that you have gone too far in those words, and you realize it in that moment, you don't have to wait a day or an hour to apologize for that. You realize you can stop that in the moment. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, there are going to be those moments in that conversation to where you're going to go, okay, hold on, time out. This is not coming out the way that I want it to. I apologize, because I am realizing my tone right now. Can I try again? We can realize in the moment that it's just like, oh my goodness, hey, hold on, sorry, that was a jab. I shouldn't have said it that way. I'm sorry. We can take a time out to just recollect ourselves, not to withdraw, but just to say, hey, hold on here. I need a minute to cool off. I'm going to go outside for 30 minutes. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go run a marathon, and I'll be back in a little bit with a better heart. See, sometimes the most loving thing you can say is nothing at all, and you just stop it. See, here's the thing about grace. Grace doesn't just give us the freedom to speak life. It gives us the power to stop speaking death. And so we lean into the power of the Spirit. And sometimes the most loving thing we can do is to shut our mouths in love. So when our words go too far, don't double down. Stop. And the reason why this is all so important, why we've got to learn to be quick to listen and slow to speak, why we've got to use our words to pursue, why we have to learn to just stop in the moment when we realize gone too far, and this is your bottom line, is because whenever we get better at communication, it actually leads to a deeper connection. Better communication leads to deeper connection in our relationships. So we use our words to deepen that connection. So here's my challenge to you this week. It's this: why not say something good every day this week? When you see something good, you say it. And you take the initiative to speak life into your spouse. We're not gonna wait for the perfect moment. We're not gonna assume they already know. We're gonna say it. We're gonna tell them something we appreciate, something that we admire, something that we love. And it doesn't have to be long, but it just needs to be said. Because better communication leads to a deeper connection. I remember it was many summers ago now, whenever I was in college, I had a summer college job for a couple of those years, to where I worked for the Carthage R9 school district. They called us Young Bucks. It was basically, we had weak minds and strong backs, and it was just like whatever the older guys didn't want to do, they were like, hey, you do that. You pick up that box, pick up that, you move over there, go weed eat there, you go do this, you go do that. And one of those summers, they were doing a massive kind of rework of the high school building. It was built in like 1911, four stories, you know, all kinds of things. And so they were renovating a bunch of rooms so that they could actually, this is how long ago it was, put computers in. And I remember that summer because there was a couple of mornings to where they put us in a truck, they drove us up there, and then they gave us sledgehammers, and they said, tear these rooms out. And it was so much fun. I'm not going to lie. I mean, if you've never had a chance to demo out a room, you should try it today. Go to somebody else's house and do it. But just grab a sledgehammer. There's something about it, man. I mean, it's loud. It's violent. I mean, it is so much fun. It feels so good to swing that and to watch it just go through the wall. And it just feels so good. And here's the thing. After we tore it all down, then they said, okay, now y'all have to help rebuild it. And so we're carrying the sheetrock up the four flights of stairs, and then we're helping Ralph. And he was an old man, and so he's like, you just hold the sheetrock up, and then he's like, I'll screw it in, and then he's like, then we're going to tape, and then we're going to mud, and then we're going to sand, and then we're going to tape, and then we're going to mud, and then we're going to sand, and you guys know, and then you mud some more, and you sand some more, and you mud some more. And what I learned through that process is that tearing down is easy, but building up takes time, patience, and skill. And here's the thing, you're watching online, you're sitting here in this room, and maybe you've walked in and you've been swinging verbal sledgehammers in your marriage for years. Maybe you were swinging a sledgehammer this morning as you drove into this place. And it might not have been with yelling, but maybe it was with sarcasm or cold shoulder, silent treatment, criticism, and just little passive-aggressive jabs. And you've swung that hammer so much, you've done some damage. But the good news is today is that with Jesus, rebuilding is possible. And it begins with just a simple decision that says, I am not going to use my words to bruise any longer. I will use my words to build up my spouse. And so what if today we choose to lay the hammer down? And what if we decide from this moment forward, I am not going to swing any longer, but I'm going to focus on building. And if it sounds overwhelming, then I have incredible news for you today. If you are a Christian, this is not done in your strength. This is done in His. This is done through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is now inside of you, and He is the one who will guide you to where you need to be. You lean into His power. If you're not a Christian, well, that's what you need. You need the power of the living God living inside of you. And so maybe today, for the very first time, you make a decision to follow Jesus and say, that's what I want. I want to be made new. I want to be rebuilt myself. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to give us all a chance to respond today. If maybe you've come in here and you are in a place to where it's just like, we're hurting, our marriage is struggling, and you just want somebody to pray with you. Our prayer partners are going to be over here. And I would just say this. If you're hesitating to go to our prayer partners because you're scared, that probably means you should. That's probably the greatest indicator that it's time to do this. And so if there's a decision, if there's this prayer that you want, I'm going to pray, we're going to sing a song, our prayer partners will be over here to the sides, and they'd love nothing more than to pray with you. Don't hesitate today. Reach out. So Father God, we thank you that you are the God who loves us, who cares for us, who has gifted us with the power of your Spirit, so that we can be transformed, be renewed. And so, Father, we pray that you would do the work that only you can do in this moment. And we pray that in your name. Amen.